All right, let's kick it up a notch here. It's the National Hour on Real Kipper and Bourne. Live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper is brought to you by Bet365. All right, boys, good weekend.
Great weekend, yeah. You?
Yeah, really good.
Beautiful weather here in the city of Toronto. Mm-hmm. Had you dreaming about golf.
Totally.
I got a call or a message from Brett Kissel.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Cool.
Who performed last night at the Horseshoe Tavern, which was spectacular. This is...
Did you go to the Horseshoe Tavern?
I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You went out?
I went out.
And to a cool place, no less.
No. Like, this is like two legends,
Kipper,
coming together.
I can't believe you went to the Horseshoe Tavern. Yes. I love the Horseshoe Tavern.
Oh, my God.
How'd you not call me? My wife's away, buddy. I would have been down there slugging beers with you. No problem.
Brett went to the lefty late in the game. Mm-hmm. Out of the bullpen, and I went there, my wife, my son, and a couple of friends, and it was spectacular.
That's awesome.
He is so good, so talented, just to watch the passion that he has for music. And, of course, we were brought together through his love of hockey. Many NHLers, current and past, very good friends with him. And, you know, to sit and hear stories, you know, and the admiration he had for Stompin' Tom and Gord Downie, of course, of the Hip. And he told this amazing story of, like, the love he had for Johnny Cash as a kid growing up. Mm-hmm. And he wrote him a letter. And he got a return letter from Johnny Cash the day Johnny Cash passed away.
No way.
What? And I'm like,
that's so cool.
So cool.
Why was he playing at the... He's a pretty big deal. Was it like a special event for him to play at the Horseshoe?
It was, I think, a family and friends VIP. You know, sometimes they get together and just hang out.
That's fantastic.
The tour is the side you'll never... the side you've never seen tour is coming up for him.
He's boys with my boy Chad Brownlee. They're a couple of Canadian hockey boys making it in country music.
Yeah.
Kissel did like straight up play-by-play analysis for us on Sportsnet.
One year
in the Oilers, where I think we're in playoffs, it felt like every other broadcast they had him on the mic weighing in.
We're getting him on for the Oilers playoffs.
We'll definitely
100%.
We'll definitely
awesome.
Get that done. So big shout out to BK. Thanks for doing that, bud. All right.
Sour. He didn't invite me. Sour.
Sammy.
He said friends and family. Listen, are neither, apparently.
I get along well with people, Kipper. I would have crushed it down there, bud.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he loves our show, me and Borny and that other guy. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
I love you.
All right, in a few minutes, we'll welcome in the head coach of the Washington Capitals. So far, I don't know, is there anyone close to him in terms of a potential coach of the year? Spencer Carberry doing an unbelievable job. They're toe-to-toe right now with the Winnipeg Jets for number one President's Trophy. We'll ask him in a few minutes if it means anything to go for it.
Yeah.
What, 15 games to go?
You want to hear about the elevation of Rasmus Sandin into a legitimate number one D?
Yes. Ovi now 8 behind.
He's at 887.
So 887, which has him within 8 of breaking the record.
And just to answer your question, according to our beloved Bet365, he is -900 to win the Jack Adams for Coach of the Year.
Yeah, it's as locky as locks get for NHL awards, I would say. The only thing that could really dent that is if one of Montreal or Columbus were to get in when preseason, I think both teams were completely written off.
You guys watched the Oilers last night? You were on the broadcast. You watched it closely. But
I did.
You were at Brett Kissel kissing Kissel, so you weren't watching it.
Yeah.
But, good win for the Oilers, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought that they looked pretty good. I thought McDavid was really involved. It's a, you know, Rangers aren't great, but they'll take any wins they can get. And I thought they looked pretty good last night.
Yeah.
We just spent the last hour, obviously, Leaf talk on our show and the conversation of Austin Matthews having an off year. Mm. But so is Connor McDavid by numbers.
Yeah.
He's still going to end up with 105 or 110 points and maybe 80 assists. But
I think he's a dozen back at Dreisaitl.
At 30 goals, is that like a bad year? Is it an off year? How would you describe Connor McDavid's season?
Yes, I mean, he's got 1.41 points per game. You know, most people would say that's pretty exceptional, but I mean, it's a decline in his production. There's no doubt about it. And I mean, he's not scoring as much. So I don't know, you know, call it Matthews-esque, if you will, where you go, still a great player. And obviously he controls the game at a different speed than Matthews. Yeah, definitely a little bit off, and strange to see him 15 points back at Leon Draisaitl. You know, he's played 5 or 6 fewer games.
Can I ask you, this is a maybe stupid question, but watching that Oilers game last night, what are your thoughts on Jacob Walman, defenseman, wearing number 96? Are you a number snob by any stretch of the imagination?
What are you thinking?
I just think it's a total hot shot number. And for me, a defenseman wearing 96 is crazy.
Fine. I'm not judge the guy morally.
It offends
based
me
on
a little bit.
But it does offend me.
One less than McDavid.
Yeah, it's so true.
Like, there's McDavid on your team and you're 96, and maybe it's stupid, but it just rubs me the wrong way.
I got to tell you, I got to kick out of Lou Lamoriello being like, none of those numbers for you kids.
I'm so past numbers now that it just, whatever the number is, it's. Yeah, in my day, you had a high number, it meant you were getting cut 7 days into training camp.
Yeah,
if you're like,
you don't want to be number
64. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right?
You know, do you remember, though, like Nylander joined the Leafs, he wore number 29. Because Lou was like, you're not wearing 88. Mm-hmm. You're not one of those guys. You're not a, you know, Eric Lindros all-time. Because for a long time, it was everyone kind of wore the low numbers until you thought you were whatever. Gratz could do it because he was Gratz.
So who was, like, the best 96?
Bure.
Yeah, Pavel.
Oh, wow.
But Pavel didn't start.
Right?
He didn't start 96.
He's 10.
10.
10, yeah. And then he went to 96.
Yeah, he elevated. He reached another stratosphere. Has Walman done that? It is one of those things where it's like, of course he can.
For sure. Like, whatever.
Also,
was he 96 in San Jose?
I got to tell you, I have no idea.
I have no
idea
either. Didn't
watch many of his games there, but anyways.
The important thing is, Sammy, he can skate a puck out.
He snap can, a breakout
he
pass.
He also smunched someone a game or two ago.
Rantanen.
And that was that was a good pickup, right?
Big time.
And they paid for it, though. He wasn't cheap.
Yeah, and hopefully a guy that they're going to have for a while. He's going to be a big – if they have success, he's going to need to be a big part of it. So big pickup for sure.
Okay, so we're waiting on Spencer Carberry, but, like, just between me and you before he comes on, like, he's – think like Washington this year? No
what
I'm asking you,
no,
are you one of those guys that says they've overachieved during the regular season and that bubble's going to burst in the playoffs?
You know,
or do you believe in them?
I think over the course of the season you're almost forced to wrestle with, I didn't think they were this good, but it's not like they got hot over a weekend here. Like, we're into 65 games and, you know, on track for the President's Trophy. They have built something pretty impressive here. And frankly, preseason predictions were really hard with a team that rebuilt in the way they did. Lubois, Mangiapane, Duhaime, Bevilier, Sandin, Chychrun, you know, Matt Roy. Like, they are a different team than they were in the past couple of years. So, you know, is it McClellan there? Or no, it's not. It's Chris. Damn. Either way.
Who's that, winger?
The GM for...
Brian McClellan,
but isn't that another guy now? Anyway, give them credit. They did bring in the right bodies to help them out. You know, when
Chris Patrick under McClellan.
Yeah.
I'm just the subtle pickups that you thought, and Pierre-Luc Dubois, we're just looking at a trade to salvage his career.
Right.
Right. Just to get a guy in there to look like you're not a complete write-off, which it felt that way when he left Los Angeles.
They're first. This Capitals team's first in the NHL in goals for per game, 3.63. Yeah. You know, Dubois has found a way to be effective even when he doesn't score. He seems happy and content there.
And then McMichael and Protas.
Oh, right. Those two. I didn't even mention those two.
Right.
He took massive steps. What's Protas on pace for? I mean, he's become a very legitimate, dangerous contributor.
They've quietly tied up their goaltenders on long-term deals.
But the other thing there, Kip, is, you know, sorry to kind of go back to it, is like, if you win the East here, you're getting a team that's like, it could be Columbus, Montreal, the Islanders. You know, it could be a team that, you know, they're just not that good. And at that point, if you then play out of the Metro, the Carolina Hurricanes kind of had their mess up with their at the deadline, and then
they've been
Devils
hot.
Are hurt. Like, you can see a path for this Capitals team.
Just waiting here. Okay.
Okay, as promised, let's welcome in the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry. Hey, Spence, thanks for joining us, man. Much appreciated.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Okay, so many places that we can start, but so far, let's just go to big picture here. You're a team that got off to a good start and has not really looked back, and now it's a two-man race between you and the Winnipeg Jets for the President's Trophy with what, about average 15 games to go, and where's the focus on that? Is it something you guys talk about? Does it motivate you, or you quietly look at it and go, I don't like the record of teams that have won this thing in the past and won Stanley Cups as well?
We've talked about it as a staff, and we've sort of just gone with the same approach with our guys that we have all year. We haven't talked about big picture, playoffs, records. We haven't even gone to segments. We keep it very, very short term. So, give you an example, like this week, we just come back from the Western trip, which we were kind of focused on those three games out there, come back home, and now we've got a three-game homestand. So we just kind of focus on these next three games at home, playing well in those scenarios, building our game, wanting to create an identity at home, which is going to be important to make sure that we continue to make our building a tough place to play in, and teams have a hard time with it and feel like they're suffocated with pressure and all that stuff that our game brings. So that's we're a real short-term focused team, to answer your question.
Carbs, it's Justin Bourne. I don't know if I've seen you since my fly up at the University of Alaska Anchorage.
Yes.
You've come a long way. Yeah. From hanging out with Matt Hansen and exactly, you know, your days hanging out up there with Matt Hansen and Chris Fournier, you've come a long way. Could you have imagined back then that you would end up where you are now? Is this something you always saw for yourself?
Absolutely not, Borno. Absolutely not. Never even crossed my wildest imagination. Yeah. to be coaching in the NHL and having done it now for, you know, 14 years, could not have imagined it at any point back then.
Well, the Jack Adams would be a nice feather in your cap and something that would be well-deserved for this season. Is that something you've put any thought into at all? Probably more focused on team metrics this season.
Yeah. Yeah, really am. And we have such a unique team that, you know, we've gone through so much over the last 2 years, you know, probably having followed us a little bit last year and making the playoffs, but also the goal differential, and some nights it didn't look great. And we frankly didn't look like a playoff team some nights when we're playing against some of the better teams in the league. But the way that we grinded through it, and especially down the stretch, found ways to win. And then this year, it's just provided a ton of challenges for us as coaches to try to, how can we help this group take the next step? And we don't have, you know, four or five guys or a handful of guys that are going to be 120-point guys and 50-goal scorers. But what we do have is we've got a team. And so that, you know, takes a lot from our coaching staff. Does an amazing job of getting everybody on the same page because we need every single guy every night. And that's sort of the strength of our group is the group and us being a deep team that plays four lines and goes two goalies deep and 6D deep.
You're listening to Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. So you come out of your rookie season as a head coach and you're staring at one of the greatest record chasing situations in the history of our sport in Ovechkin. And you want to make the team better. Like, how many meetings would you have had with your coaching staff on how do we go about this where it looks like we want to help Ovi get in the best spot without making it look like it's all about Ovi?
Yeah. I can tell you we've met and talked about it a lot and talked to him personally about it a lot. And this is it's the best thing that goes unnoticed about O is he's through this all, he's so coachable and honestly, dead honest truth, team orientated. It's you'd be amazed, and the stories will come out when he's retired about, you know, in the off season, it's all about free agency and who we adding and how we making the team better. And that's literally what he talks about. He doesn't talk about, he doesn't ask me, he doesn't say, you know, I need this, 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 I need to play here. It's about how can we make our team better. And I think maybe one of the things, I don't know if I've told this story before, but at the end of last year, we got swept in the first round, and O had a tough first round series against New York. And for him, when we met at the end of the season and him being, you know, going into now his 39-year-old season, the start that he had the previous year, he took it upon himself at 39, at the spot he is in his career, changes a little bit of his workout routine, makes some adjustments, goes, I have to find a way to be able to start better. I've got to train a little bit differently than I did at 27 years old, now at 39, makes these adjustments, goes back home, and then he comes in this season and completely flips. He's on fire right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And so it just, again, it just speaks to the greatness and the uniqueness of O and what he's doing and what he's accomplished. And anytime you doubt or think, I think he's running out of gas, he puts those immediately to bed. He's done that throughout the season, even coming back from the injury.
That's awesome. You know, you just like combined with Ovi have the most interesting team because you guys took on a number of new players this year where, you know, people weren't sure where or how you guys would fit them in. And almost everyone has had success. But I do want to ask you about a couple guys internally who've taken big steps in Alexi Protas and Connor McMichael. Did you know that their ceilings were as high as their performance this year?
That's a really tough one. Mikey, I've always known the production and always believed in his ability to produce because he's done it at every level. Now, a lot of people thought where he was picked and, you know, he's probably going to be a third line center in the NHL. Like that was sort of, but if you get to know Mikey as a person, I coached him his rookie year in the American Hockey League coming from London. You find out very quickly that if you doubt him and if you put limits on him, he's the type of player that very, very confident, self-motivated, and just finds ways to deliver and produce. So I always have never doubted that he was going to find a way to be able to produce at the NHL level at a top six clip, which he's doing this year. And Pro is interesting because I would say the production offensively, I can't sit here and say, yeah, I knew he'd be a 30 goal scorer and producing the way he has after. But I did, you're very confident that he was going to be a good NHL player. Like I had zero doubts about that. He's a Belarusian that when I coached him his rookie year, when he came to Hershey as well over from Europe and like crazy focus, crazy work ethic that you don't see in a lot of young players and just self-motivated. Like this guy every day on the ice working, trying to fine-tune his game, and even in film, wants to be coached, wants to learn, always asking for more. And so with his size and how much he's worked on his skating and how much he's worked on his shot, you're not surprised at him having the success that he's had.
I want to touch on your blue line. Firm believer that championships are win built from the net on out. The goaltending's been great, but this revamped blue line in such a short period of time. Spence, I've always been a big fan of John Carlson. I think he's still to this day underrated.
Yeah. But totally agree.
But the support that he's gotten from particularly Jacob Chychrun to me is off the charts. And I look at even Sandin, another guy that couldn't fit with the Leafs. Chychrun couldn't fit with Ottawa. But they come to your team and around Carlson and Matt Roy and the rest of the group, man, this is one tough blue line.
Yeah, and I to echo what you said, John Carlson is such an underrated defenseman in every situation. A lot of a lot of people that don't watch him on a daily basis just equate the first unit power play and the years that they've seen film of him there and replays of that. It's he does so much more, and I would argue he is way better defender, so smart, good with his stick, plays heavy minutes against teams' top lines, no problem. So he's that multifaceted defenseman, plays in every situation, just so underrated. And then I think you're spot on with Chicky has done a really nice job of coming in and alleviating some of those offensive minutes from John. So now we can deploy him a lot of ozone starts with Dylan Strome's line. And it just it cuts down and doesn't make John at the point he's at in his career have to log 27, 28 minutes a night. And that's been a huge help for us. And Chicky's been awesome for us since the start of the year. The skating and his ability to walk the line and his shot is just so elite. And I couldn't agree more as well with Rasmus Sandin. He's taken a huge step because I coached him the 2 years I was in Toronto. And him now of where he's developed and how hard he's worked at his game, he's a 5-on-5 now minute eater. He's not an offensive, he can add that part, but he is so good breaking pucks out, defending with his stick, intelligently with his feet against some of the best players in the NHL. And so those guys have been, Marty Faye, Arby, same thing, underrated defender. Those guys have been huge parts of our success this year.
Hey, Spence, just for either a coach or a player out there watching or listening, how does a guy like Sandin go from being on a bubble or a fringe player to someone who can really solidify a spot on a hockey club? Is it mental, physical? Like,
yeah.
Where does it begin?
You know what it was? He looked at himself honestly in the mirror, and he was honest with himself and said, because early in his career, he wanted to be Erik Karlsson. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be the guy that would run the first unit power play and make all these plays offensively and get a ton of points. And then it got to a point in his career, and I think when he came to Washington, it's like, I can have a long, successful play on the national team, do all these incredible things in my career with being a great defender, being able to break pucks out constantly, and add a little bit of offense. Maybe I'm not Erik Karlsson. Maybe I don't need to score 90 points and run a first-unit power play, but I also can be an elite defenseman in this league not doing that. And I think he really embraced that. And now, defensively, like, he can penalty kill. He can play in all these different situations where I remember in Toronto he was a little bit sheltered from. He didn't, you know, you had to be careful about who he went out against. And, you know, he wasn't put in those situations. And now I think he's just really embraced and understood that in this role and doing this as a defenseman in this league, there's tremendous value in it, and I can have a great long career in this league and be thought of as really, really successful.
That's great stuff, man. Well, listen, we really appreciate you taking some time out for us today and wish you the best of luck moving forward.
Yeah, thanks, Carbs.
Thank you, guys. You guys do a great job. Listen all the time.
Appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Spencer Carberry, head coach of the very good Washington Capitals.
Can I tell you who doesn't like Spencer Carberry? Absolutely nobody. Mm. Everybody loves Spencer Carberry. Yeah. Anyone you've ever talked to that's come across him,
yeah,
awesome.
I don't like him.
Because
he just talked about how, you know, another classic Leafs guy that they traded too soon went somewhere else and figured it out. Sick.
Yeah.
On the heels of Fraser Minton scoring a natural hat trick, Sammy's having a tough time.
You know, they traded future Patrice Bergeron for Martin Rindon.
Saying when the student's ready, the teacher appears, something like that.
When the student's ready, is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
right?
I like that.
And he's just, that goes, you can sit there and blame the Leafs. They were dumb for letting him go.
It was a good trade at the time.
If a guy's not ready and you can only wait so long, mm-hmm. I get the fact that sometimes it's just not meant to be in certain places, and other places it falls into place. It could be a coaching style. It could be a confidence thing.
But
it could be
else?
When you, to Spencer's point, it could be when you're ready to look in the mirror. That's the number one thing.
But I also think that when you see someone come up and you think of them as like Sandin coming in the league and you see them rise up and try to get better, it's really hard to see them with the same objective eyes as a new set. You trade him somewhere else and they say, okay, here's what he is now. You still kind of thought of him here as like, he's this young guy, hasn't found it. He's, you know.
Definitely something through that.
A new perspective, a fresh start for him went a long way. And you don't know if that ever happens here. So
I look at his time on ice from the last three seasons. So in 2022, 2023, he was 22-59 in 19 games after he got traded there, right? That would have been when he got traded there. And then last year he was 21-07 and he was finished -13, 23 points. This year, he's played 67 games. He's 18-58. He's a +19.
Right where he should be.
They bring in Chychrun. They bring in Matt Roy. He's slotted properly. He doesn't have to play a ton. And it's like, yeah, you know, he's in the right role and he's playing really well. So,
yeah,
good for him.
That's
as I watch Simone Benoit try to break it off the glass every night. Okay, game time?
Game time.
Game time.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. All right, so just seeing what's on the ice tonight.
I'm going to need Leafs Flames at some point.
I'll give you Leafs Flames right now. Leafs Flames, 7:30 tonight on Amazon, which means they'll drop the puck at 8:45 p.m.
Good to know.
The Leafs are -205 favorites. Oof. On home ice, the Flames coming in, fighting for their playoff lives as a +170 underdog. The total is reflective of the way these two teams have been producing offense recently.
5.5?
It is. Yeah. The over is slight juice in the over, -120 on the over. Under 5.5 is +100. So not a ton of value either way there, but they think it's going to be a low-scoring game. So that's the least picture. Looking at the other action on the ice tonight, not a ton of great games. Buffalo and Boston playing in the earlier slate. Devils in Columbus. Columbus fighting for their playoff lives. They're an underdog at home against the Devils. Lightning hosting the Flyers. Big favorites, as you would imagine there. And later on, the Minnesota Wild hosting the Los Angeles Kings. And the Kings, boy, they look pretty good right now. They're -155 favorites in Minnesota taking on the Wild. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. As Sammy mentioned, two desperate teams, I think, for points tonight at Scotiabank Arena. We'll get into a little bit more of the Calgary Flames and Toronto Maple Leafs. Also, Rantanen back in Colorado. And this story just will not go away.
To quote everybody's favorite kids movie, let it go, let it go. What movie is that, Frozen?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Not yet. We'll talk about that and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Just looking at that Western Conference. The Blues and the Utah Hockey Club.
Go HC.
Right in the mix of things.
Before we get to the bottom, I got a text on the text line for a request for Jets talk. And I will say, still good. Another win. Okay, back to the bottom.
Oh, and Mark Scheifele signed an autograph for my nephew. So I'm you
know, what a guy.
Fan. Way to go.
Anyways, back to the bottom.
Okay, we just had the head coach of the Washington. Who's going to win the President's Trophy?
Jets.
Jets talk.
Jets talk.
Of course.
No.
Do you really want that thing?
No.
I mean,
yes, take it.
I do think that the one thing hockey fails at is we under-celebrate the President's Trophy. It is a monumental accomplishment. In European soccer, that's it.
They undersell a conference championship.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, they are currently in the lead.
Well, the baseball players put on goggles.
Yeah. Division title. Woo!
Champagne.
They play for 3 years every season. Their season's so long.
82 games, grinding, fighting, playing. You come out on top over 31 other teams.
Every round. Let's get every round. The players to celebrate like the baseball players celebrate. goggles on, champagne everywhere.
And it's so funny. Guys will win massive game 7 OT to win the second round. They're like, well, it's just part of the process. It's on the way to our ultimate goal.
Good. Yeah, really can't wait for the next round to get underway.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
I'm okay with that. So Calgary Flames, Toronto Maple Leafs, one of four in an Eastern road trip for the Calgary Flames. Back-to-back tonight and the Rangers tomorrow night.
Then New Jersey, then the Islanders.
Yes. So how many points they need on this Eastern trip for you, Calgary?
Well, let's break it down here. The Flames have the most games left in the of any team in the NHL. 17 remaining games. 71 points. They're going to have to get to, call it, 91, 92. So we're looking at 10 wins over 17 games, maybe 11 wins would definitely get you in. That would get you 93. I think 11 wins is the answer. So, Kip, if they finish the road trip 500, 2-2, and they're okay.
They're okay.
They can come home and get to work on Seattle. Tough stretch after that. Dallas, Edmonton, Colorado. Yeah, you know, they're going to be searching for points here. It's going to be a grind down the stretch for the Flames, who, like I said, have a lot of hockey games left.
All those standings are gone, but I do worry about the Wild. They have a bit of a cushion here.
Oh, the bottom could fall out.
But there's some teams that are pushing hard, and I would imagine that they'll be playing each other a little bit here. Like, they lost a lot of guys. You know, Kaprizov hasn't played. Like, they're definitely...
The bottom's been falling out for them for quite a while. The fact that they're only 6 points up, you know, it takes a lot to lose. But the thing is, there's four teams behind them that can do it. So the one thing I have noted several times, I tweeted about it today, St. Louis, who kind of sold at the deadline but didn't sell.
Not really.
I thought maybe they would. Then they didn't really. Their schedule coming up, they got, Nashville, Vancouver, Chicago, Nashville, Montreal, Nashville. So they have a stretch here of six games where they should win five times. And they're all of a sudden a very realistic playoff contender, which couldn't have said pre-Montgomery.
Do we look at the Calgary Flames, who can't score?
Dead last in the NHL. Wow.
And look at the pressure on Dustin Wolf right now. Mm-hmm. He's had the last three starts. There's Toronto. You give him a break going into New York on tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I think
you're asking a lot. Vladar's been good for them.
Yeah, no. Listen, they're in it.
Yeah.
They're playing meaningful games.
They're trying to become the second team since, I think, 2005 to make playoffs while finishing last in the NHL in goals.
But you ride Dustin Wolf.
This is it. Right? He's young.
I mean, yeah, you're not going to get many. This is an excellent chance for them to make the playoffs. Like, this is where you never in a million years thought you would have been. Like, think about the start of the year. People were picking them to be one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
And you're right there. You got to press at this point.
And they got Frost and Farabee with the intent of being pretty good. Now, Zari is still suspended, and someone else is hurt. I will find that shortly. But so they're missing a couple of guys tonight going into Toronto. But, yeah, that back end of Uyghur and Anderson, they've got some pretty good defenders and a good goalie, so...
Did you see Kadri's goal today at practice and he was going crazy?
You know,
he
was I didn't like that as much as everyone else.
No.
To me, Anderson blows a wheel. I didn't think he got, like, dangled that bad.
Yeah, it was a great move, but...
Yeah.
That's where we're at now.
Well...
Practice dangles.
Here's what I'll say.
I had the greatest dangle in my life against Kevin Hatcher with the Washington Capitals and there was no cameras.
But yeah, well, I mean, that can be a complete lie.
No, it's not. Because I don't lie. Yeah. But like,
call him up. Let's see what he says. Would he agree?
Like, that's where we're at right now. We're like
critiquing. They're searching for offense.
Practices.
It was a beautiful move.
It was, yeah.
It was.
But so, yeah. Also, you know, watching the Flames a little bit more lately, Kadri's great right now. He looks really good to me. Like, he's one of the guys that helps them be somewhat dangerous. But more than any other team, they have to get to the net front. Bank it in off, guys. Mm. It's going to be one of those nights tonight for the Leafs D. Can you clear them out of the house so you can't, you know, to make it easy on Joseph Wool, who, by the way, is back in.
And Leafs handled them pretty easily when they went out there, so maybe they can repeat that.
The one thing that I think sometimes guys don't get enough credit for is when The one thing that I have a lot of respect for Naz is that he signed, obviously, a huge contract to go to Calgary, but the commitment to want to be there, like legitimately want to be there.
Yeah.
And not wavering off of it, not going, can't win here, get me out of here. Like that's, to my knowledge, that's never happened. And now that they look like, I don't know, maybe they're within a couple of years of competing, not five.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's where it seems to be trending, especially with fantastic goaltending and the thought of being aggressive in free agency and watching Washington turn it around in 18 months, that he's never been that guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what to me is the tough part for the Flames now is this season was one of their rebuild years, and it does take them out of the running for like a big impact draft pick. You know, whether they get in or out, they're going to finish 14th to 20th in the league.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not going to get a top five pick this year. How do you get that top end talent? Calgary is not currently a top 10 destination in the NHL for free agents, maybe new building, having some success, maybe yep. they become that. But right now it's like, that's the thing they're missing. Cause the young guys they have that are really great, Zeri and Pospisil and Coronado,
Wolf.
Wolf.
That's important.
They got good guys. Yeah. But how do you get the guys who, when you're going to have to go up against MacKinnon, McDavid, you got to play those great guys. So what's the next step for the Flames? Start with the playoffs, you know, give the exposure to your current young guys, and I guess hope you can find a guy along the way in free agency.
But to go back to your Kadri point, Kip, feels like if he had been said that he was thinking about wanting out, somebody would have traded for him. Like somebody would have been knocking down that door. Not like he was going to demand it, but if there's any rumblings or if there's anything.
I'm sure Conroy got calls. But it's between two general managers and talking about value. But there are some guys that do make noise behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But let's also talk about the value of winning. Like if you're the Flames and you're bad this year, like maybe Kadri says, I don't want to do this. They're too far away. Maybe he says, okay, you're getting calls. I'm willing to go. And then you lose Kadri, and that stinks.
Yeah.
Adding to that, the Ottawa Senators, we've just added Wayne Scanlon's going to start writing an Ottawa Senators column per week mm-hmm. on top of, you know, we have people writing about the Senators. Yeah. Alex Adams right now doing good work. So it's like we're adding coverage on the Sens because they're winning. It gets so much more fun when you win. Guys stay. People talk about you more. You're in the mix. It matters. It's March. Seven Canadian teams could make playoffs. Seven. If Minnesota tanks.
Are we pivoting to a bit of Sens talk?
Okay. Before we go into that, we will for sure. But like, I'm watching the Pittsburgh Penguins go on a heater right now.
Oh, no. Like,
what
you
is,
fools.
What is the point?
Stop that.
Like, why are you like, why did you call Jari up so he could win four in a row? And like, I can't believe
we're
going to
lose anyway.
Like, what's the point?
You're right. They very badly need to finish last.
Yes.
They've won four in a row now. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Sid's too good.
With Jari.
Yeah, Sid's too good, too.
Stunk the whole season. And I get that you're trying to.
They're 5 points out of the playoffs.
I get that you're trying to get him back. Like, once upon a time, he was a decent goaltender and maybe still a good one if he can clear his head. But this is not the time now to bury a potential top pick.
No, you're right. And
I hate saying this because 20 years ago, 15 years, 20 years ago, I hated the thought of tanking.
I still do, but if you're going to be bad, miss.
Too much value in tanking.
They need to, like, kick the leg out from this table they're building here. Just let this thing collapse and get the next Sid.
Ottawa Senators love?
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as to say love. I thought they looked really good.
Saturday. Ottawa Senators like respect. Coming in hot.
Respect.
Give them some love, Sam.
Some respect. Not love, respect.
Okay, close enough.
What'd you like, Sam? What do you see with this?
I can't believe the Sabres traded Cousins to the Sens.
Oh, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. It's going to hurt for sure.
Really,
he's
big.
Massive.
He's really big, and he
skates sneaky well. Goes to the front of the net. Heavy.
Yeah, he moves the needle.
He's perfect for them, and it's like Norris is on the shelf with an injury. Cousins has a 30-goal season under his belt. I understand he's 23 years old or whatever he is. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be that guy every year, but he can sure be close.
The other thing that stood out to me Saturday night when I watched them is the pace of play controlled by Jake Sanderson and Thomas Chabot. Mm-hmm. Like, they are game-changing guys.
Yeah.
Flow, style of play, everything. When they're out there, they're so dangerous, you know?
Strange team for me in that, like, they're kind of fine everywhere, you know? Like, they're as top lines go, Kachuk, Stützle, Giroux is good. But if you pick the top line on every team in the NHL, maybe it's the seventh or eighth best. And from there, every other line's okay. D pairs are okay. They're just solid. They're, you know, Travis Green has them playing good hockey. And I thought Ullmark was really solid.
Except for his extreme brain
fart.
Except
for the one. Whoopsie.
It was so funny when he just was dropping his head before Matthews.
He's like, oh, God, it's Matthews.
Yeah, but no, I thought he looked really good.
Could have rattled him, but it didn't.
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, he was wonderful in the third period. So this is what they paid him all the money for. He's been great. They've kind of pulled themselves out of the playoff race. They're so far ahead. They're 5 points up on the wild card two spot. So,
yeah,
they should get in. Old Andlauer, get some playoff gates.
All right. I did tee up yesterday's contest between the Dallas Stars and Colorado, where it was Mikko's return to Colorado, where he'll have many, many more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, going back into the Western Conference. But Makar, the difference maker in overtime, but this one can shape up to be a very good potential first round.
Oh, my God. They're loaded. And we'll get to the other stuff. Do you see Landeskog skating today?
I did.
Not skating, flying.
Yes, this will definitely call for a doctor segment.
We got to get the doc on. Yeah.
But, how can you not get excited when you watch that, when they put it out that he's been gearing up to try to come back? How early is he ready to start and playing games? As early as this week, next week?
Can they salary cap wise, or does he need to be hurt for another month?
Yeah.
I think the play all along was to leave his salary open.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. They got less than a million in cap space right now.
Then this would have to be after playoffs. Yeah, I.
That's tough. They,
all along, they've left it open. I don't know what Brock Nelson did to them, and
mm-hmm.
That's jumping on a moving highway for a guy that hasn't played in how many years, putting him in there against the Dallas Stars.
You know, the last time he skated in an NHL game, he won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's a long time ago now.
3 years.
Yeah, it's like that's...
It would be the coolest thing ever.
Oh, my God.
See him come in.
But that's the thing with the salary cap.
Play fourth line, play 8 minutes.
It is a very rare...
And then work his way up.
Injury that he had. Cartilage transplant.
Right. Full, replacement or whatever you call it. Like, here's new cartilage.
We need a doctor.
We will get one.
It's funny to hear the... Like, because Rantanen's nickname
doctor.
Is...
Doctor.
Moose.
Moose. But, like, they're... Booing
him?
Moose. Like, it's like, are they booing him? Are they saying moose? Like, what's going on here?
He also had his 400th career assist and the game stopped and he got to give the crowd a wave and they cheered him.
Yep.
That was nice. He also made a great play on a Dallas goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got smunched at one point.
Yeah.
No, it was against Edmonton. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So I mean, imagine that. This Dallas team, as good as they are, loaded, and they're waiting on Seguin to come back. Someone else.
Mikko.
Yeah.
Heiskanen. Yeah.
And then, get Landy back for Colorado. It would be better than the Stanley Cup final. No doubt about it.
That's like a borderline all-star game.
Right.
Those two teams playing against each other in terms of the amount of talent on both sides. It's crazy.
Silly loaded.
Yeah.
And someone's going to be very disappointed.
Oh, and the Jets just get to avoid that.
Yeah.
You know, win the whole kit and caboodle in the...
Play the smoking hot Blues with Jordan Binnington coming in the first round.
Oh, no.
I mean, last time Connor and him matched up didn't end that well for him.
Oh, please. He loved that one.
Anything to bring up the Four Nations.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Columbus sliding a little bit for you guys?
Yeah, the four. They've lost four of the last five, I think.
Yeah.
Magic starting to dwindle a little bit.
You know, they're still right there, but it is one of those things where we had on Don Waddell, and we're like, you going to add? And he was like, you know, like they don't think this is their year. They kind of know where they are in their whole. They added the guy that we were like, please don't add him. What's his name from San Jose?
Oh, Kunin.
They added Kunin, yeah. The Luke Kunin ad was officially the we did something move.
But you look at the standings, and it feels like the rain. We'll talk to Valley a little bit tomorrow, but they lost last night, obviously, to Edmonton. But it does feel like they'll get in, and the Sens will get in, and that's our eight.
Who's that, the Rangers will?
Yeah.
You know, Detroit's the other team. I know Habs fans are like, what about us? And it certainly could be Montreal, but Detroit's schedule is actually very tough. Yeah, it could be Montreal.
Comfortable win for the Vancouver Canucks on the weekend against Chicago. The Blackhawks season cannot end fast enough for Connor Bedard.
Yeah, I legitimately like feel for him. It's just playing out the string and hoping that the Blackhawks spend like crazy in the offseason and add something, someone, somehow. Mitch Marner.
Oh, gosh.
You know, that would be great for them. Who else is available?
Ehlers.
Yeah, I like Ehlers.
Yeah,
they're going to overspend.
They have to overspend, though. They're embarrassing themselves. You know, this kid's, was that 2 years now in the league? It's like, okay, he can't finish 32nd or 31st next
The only
year.
Problem is if a guy like that signs and he gets a lot of money, it's... You're not going to win anytime soon.
Well, the hope is that the skyrocketing salary cap allows you to a little more than it has in the past. But yeah, I get, you know, you might have to give someone an extra schmill to sign there. But it's better than what they've been doing, giving the extra schmill to Foligno and Corey Perry and those types.
You just look at this free agent class. It's like, God, Marner's going to be very rich.
Yeah.
You know, like at the top, It's good. You got the normal the guys that you're talking about, but there's a lack of depth to it. Yeah, what I'll say. But anyways,
so the Canucks, the ultimate like just rough vibes team for me right now. You know, like when they played the Flames the week before, it was like the two differing teams in terms of like what they should be. The fact that they're at the same place in the standings is crazy, but like, you know, watching Petey last night,
yeah,
you know, nothing really happening. They had like, I don't know, 9 shots through 2 periods. Hawks having a tough time getting that ship sailing.
Quinn Hughes is doing everything in his power. It's like
dying out there.
But you'll give Petey a bit of credit. He's heated up a bit since he had 4 and 5 games before.
Yep.
Before they played.
And he'd been shooting the puck a bit more. Yep. Like he's
turned it around a little bit. No.
But I mean, when you're struggling like they are and you need goals and you've traded JT Miller, it's like, who's going to do this? And it's like, you.
Mm.
And he's like, meh. You know, like Besser struggling a little bit too. But yeah, I will say it's a lot of times the media takes a hard time for, you know, being all over guys, being negative, whatever. But the people I talk to, you know, are trying to find positive things to say during this Canucks season right now.
Mm.
But it isn't pretty.
There's not a time.
No.
Just get them in the playoffs, and I think people would look at that as a bonus at this point in Vancouver, in all honesty. Like, even if they went fairly quiet in the first round, they would look at all of that drama and go, how did we even make it?
Yeah, it would be a success, considering injuries and storylines and everything.
Yeah.
Despite it all, that is the team that seems like most unlikely to be where they are in the standings.
Quinn Hughes together or like with Elmer's glue or something.
The bottom two teams in the Western Conference playoff race, Minnesota has a -10 goal differential and Vancouver has a -18 goal differential. St. Louis Blues are exactly even.
Look out for the Blues.
A lot of red on the Western Conference.
Flames are -20.
All right. It's Monday. That's all I can say. How many games tonight, Tammy?
4 or 5.
4 or 5. 5, Sammy?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5 games on tap. Pick yours, and we're back tomorrow to do it all over again. and solve nothing. Have a great one.